going to be read at our other churches too, but also over at Life International Church today. And so here it is. You ready? It's an official letter. All right. It says, to the members and adherents of Life International Church, LIC has served the purpose of God in the northwest of London for the last 8 years. We believe the kingdom of God has been advanced and that much fruit will result from this season of ministry. After a time of prayerfully seeking the Lord and counsel with our board and those we are in relationship with, we've concluded that we will no longer be meeting as a fellowship at 1674 Hyde Park Road. Our last Sunday at this location will be Sunday, March 17th, 2013. This has been a careful and a demanding process of evaluation, but we're confident that we have found the mind of God. We as a family will be attending Impact Church in London. We are committed to God's call in our lives, and we are persuaded that He desires and the desires He's placed in our hearts will certainly be realized. We're also grateful for the confidence that has been expressed in us as your pastors. Your faithfulness to the vision of LIC has been greatly appreciated and received with deep affection. We were sent from Impact Church London, and we have always desired to be one fellowship in multiple locations, and we know that each of those who have made LIC their spiritual home will be openly received at Impact Church in London. Each of you have manifested your ability to hear the voice of God, and we know that you will continue to be led by Him. Thank you again for your dedication, for your faithful service to the Lord and to His church. With much love, Pastors Dan and Linda Roberts. So we're moving on in the process of what God wants to do with us as a fellowship. And this is our fellowship. This is not a separate church that was up in the Northwest End. This is us. And so it continues to be us. So this is not something where we've been unsuccessful or we failed. This is something where we have really hammered some very hard ground, very hard for 8 years. And we believe that we've made some significant impact. And we still, as a church, have a large vision to see a multi-campus ministry throughout this city and this region. And so we really see that happening. We also see and are working right now on establishing campuses in the GTA. We have our church in Castlefield Avenue has actually began to incorporate the Impact logo and all that they are doing. And we are looking at establishing that as an Impact church in the GTA. And so we're looking at extending and expanding the whole Impact label. We just felt we had come to a point with that church plant and the location that we needed to just kind of reevaluate and look at what we're doing in that whole situation. But we are going to realize these things and they are going to be done. So we keep on pressing through and we do that. And I am so grateful for Pastor Dan and Linda because they have worked really hard. I sometimes have often felt that they worked harder than the results that we're seeing. You know, sometimes when you're in a plowing in a really hard place and, you know, you're putting in incredible effort and you don't seem to see the results, it can be disheartening. So I'm grateful for their ministry, and you know, they'll be a part of Impact Church here, and we're going to have some time to minister to them, bless them, love on them, and pour into their lives. And we know that the dreams and desires that God's placed in their heart are going to be realized. We love their family, and I'm very, very excited about continuing to partner with them in the purposes of God for their life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we're pushing on, we're pushing big, we're pushing hard, and we're believing for great, great, big things. How many eat popcorn? How many don't eat popcorn? It's good. I know sometimes, like, I can't eat just a bit. I eat the whole bag, and then after that, you kind of do feel kind of, But I like making popcorn. Actually, I put it in the microwave. But there, you got to have skills. Now, we have a microwave where you actually put it in, and you push the popcorn button, and it, you know, just popcorn. Then, you know, but I find that I need about 3 minutes and 45 seconds to get what I like, because I actually like, I've sometimes set up alarm in our house with that because I do like my popcorn a bit burnt and I do like it to be a bit smoky. I don't know why, but I just do. I like that. I don't know, maybe it has something to do with my wife's cooking. I'm not sure. She is cooking a fantastic meal upstairs and it'll be awesome. You know, early in our marriage, though, I thought she thought it was God because we had a lot of burnt offerings. But anyway, there's no, just kidding. She's an amazing cook. I resemble this remark. My wife is an amazing cook. I resemble that remark. I really do. I put on 25 pounds our first year of marriage, and I lost count. So it's all good. But But you know, it's what's amazing about the popcorn is if you watch it, you can watch it, and if you didn't know, you would think nothing was going on. You would think 1 minute passed like nothing. It's just spinning and laying flat, and then 2 minutes go by, it's still spinning and laying flat. And then, you know, you almost close in on 3 minutes, it's just spinning and laying flat, and all of a sudden, poof. And then bam, there it is. You go, man, nothing was going on for 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden, poof. But you know what? It's not nothing was going on. Powerful stuff was going on. Something was happening inside that bag. You may not have seen it, but something powerful was going on. And you know what? There's powerful stuff going on, and that we are doing as a fellowship and have been doing as we've been planting and pioneering new works in the city, and we'll continue to do that. Sometimes you might think, well, what happened there? What was going on? I tell you, something was going on. What's going to happen with this fellowship and the ministries from this fellowship? It's going to be explosive. Going to be explosive. I'm telling you, it really, really is. I know that. Something has shifted in my heart. I'm excited about my new shoes. Because I tell you, new shoes for a new season, new realms, new authority, new stuff. And man, I have to learn to walk with them, though, because they're a little bit pointy. And every time I walk upstairs now, they catch the stairs. And so it's a bit awkward. But, you know, you gotta understand new seasons, new times, how to move and new things. So we're excited about what God is doing with us and for us. But we'll be excited to see, you know, Pastor Dan and Linda and many of the LIC folks will be, you know, joining with us and giving their strength as well. So how many know we're going to rip the roof off this place? We're going to move on to bigger and better things. So very, very exciting, Pastor. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, we're going to jump over to, do you know what they're doing in kids' church today? They're ministering on the book of Daniel. How awesome is that? And I thought that was really, really cool because so am I. So we're going to minister in the book of Daniel. So get your Bibles out and let's go to the book of Daniel. Go to Daniel and we're going to begin ministering the word. Amen. So let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Put your finger there. We're going to read Daniel chapter 1 together. So how many students we have in the house today? You're a student in any form. You are a student. All right, I want you to stand up if you're a student. Stand up. Stand up if you're a student. Oh, that's awesome. Look at you. That's awesome. We got more students than that was. You guys, what's the matter with you? You guys get kicked out of school? What happened there? All right. It's awesome. Well, I love students. We want to have more students. We want to have a strategy that I'm really believing next year that we're going to rent some buses and we're just going to send them up to Western and Fanshawe and fill them. So I'm believing for that, and I'm going to work on a strategy to get that done. You know, how many know I got a lot of strategies? My wife says, you know what? I think you're tiring people out with your strategies. You need to just chill. I said, grace, grace, hallelujah. But I'm believing we're going to do that. So I'm believing the Lord for an amazing strategy to reach the campuses. You know, something that's really big in this town is school. Very big in this town is the campus of the University of Western and Fanshawe. That's a very big part of this town, this economy. And I figure if we're going to pastor the city, we have a responsibility to make a big dent in those campuses. Can I get an amen? So we need to have that. We need to see that. And I think there's a lot of young people looking for a church that's fun. And there's a lot of unbelievers and a lot of students who need Jesus. So we need to reach them. Just keep your finger there in Daniel chapter 1. I'm just going to read one verse from Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel 6, verse 3 says, Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Because an excellent spirit was in him. He distinguished himself because he had such an amazing education. He distinguished himself because he was such a smarty pants. He distinguished himself because mom and dad raised him right. Well, that's partly true, because he really did. Mom and dad did pay attention, and he was raised well. You know, but he distinguished himself, it says, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So this young slave boy who entered into Babylon, entered into that place of confusion, he entered into this place of foreign gods and foreign leaders and foreign ways. Daniel went into that place, and because he had an excellent spirit, literally the king in that day said, I've got in mind to set you over every single thing in my realm. Can I get an amen? He didn't get voted in. He didn't you know, become a political smarty pants. It was literally the power and the presence and the evidence of God and the Spirit of God in his life that elevated him to a place where he was ruling and reigning and bringing in the principles and the reign of the kingdom of heaven into everywhere he was. It doesn't matter how messy it gets or how confused and messed up the world is, you and God are a majority in any situation. And you have the ability and the power to shift even a whole kingdom because God is with you. Man, there's a couple of grunts there. That was good. Whoa, come on. All right. I know you lost an hour of sleep. It's all good. Daniel chapter 1. Let's read verse 1. You ready? Everybody there say aye. Ah, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And some of the articles of the house of God were carried into the land of Shinar to his house of God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Asphanaz to the master of his eunuchs to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, who were good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, and had ability to serve the king's palace, of whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now the king would painstakingly make sure that they were given the best of nutrition and the best, and these guys were not dummies back then. They understood how to eat the proper foods, do the proper things, and have proper nutrition. And he wanted these people to be the best because he was a great and a mighty king, and he wanted his wise men to be the biggest smarty pants in the world. And so he wanted to find who he thought were the best looking and most intelligent people, and he wanted to bring them into his kingdom. And the devil's just like that today. I tell you something right now, just a little sideline, just going to pop into something, and not to freak you out or anything, but the last 2 weeks have been some pretty severe spiritual attack. I don't know about you, but I've had some incredible subtle ways where the enemy has tried to attack us and get our spirits all soured and messed up and try to just confuse and muddle things up. So I'll tell you, sometimes you'll get attacks on your marriage, you'll get attacks on your kids, you'll suddenly experience chronic headaches, you'll have things and you'll wonder, what is this all about? And often it has nothing to do with the physical realm, but is completely a spiritual attack. And I tell you, when we go after sickness like we do and the way we go after it, the devil does not like that. So sometimes in the middle of things, shake yourself and say, I know where this is coming from. Oh, my, my, my. And you got to cast him down and say, devil, it's done. It's over. It's finished. I am on to you. You are not going to distract me one little bit. You are under my foot, and that's where you're going to stay. Can I get an amen? Now, the enemy's always trying to do that. The enemy's always trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And sometimes it's not these frontal attacks. Sometimes it's thoughts and things that come in your head that you'll begin. And, you know, some people, here's what thoughts do. Some people get one little thought, and they turn it into a mini-series. You know what I mean? Pastor walked by me, went like this, and he and Cheryl probably don't like me. They probably sit at home drinking coffee, talking about me. In fact, I saw them on vacation floating on rubber tubes going, that person's an idiot. I saw it. And then they went and they had dinner and ate at the buffet. And after that, they were shuffleboard. And then again, at dinner, they were again going, do you remember we were talking about, isn't that person an idiot? And you turn your whole little, one little glance, and this isn't happening. I'm just using an example. It hasn't happened, not at all. But I'm just talking about how silly we can be. And literally, we turn the thing, and we allow the enemy to come in, and he puts scenes in our head. He puts all kinds of other stuff in our head. He adds characters to it and all kinds of stuff, and suddenly we know the name of the waitress. Oh! Oh! Must have had a perfect tone, perfect match there. You know, and the waitress was Sister Gonzalez. And, you know, it's just like, I mean, we saw it all. And then next time you run into the person, it happened. I saw it. And you know what? Those are the subtle attacks of the enemy. And then you walk around and the enemy gets people in strife with each other, and the whole thing is a product of vain imaginations. It didn't even happen. It's not even real. And we're all walking around, I'm offended. And it's really that. It's not like these big frontal attacks. It's little, simple, stupid stuff. You know, the devil's been doing this for a long time, and he knows how to mess you up. And that's how people get in strife, and all of a sudden, I don't think I'm supposed to be in this church anymore. Oh, my God, I've seen this. I've seen that. Where'd you see it? In my head. Get a grip on yourself. Not to be rude, sister, but I think the pastor probably hasn't thought about you for a month. Because he actually has a life, too. So, I mean, pray for your pastor. Don't get ignorant. Now, again, I'm using me as an example. It hasn't happened. Not a single person here has ever had a bad thought about the pastor. So, what's so funny? Now I'm having a mini-series. Oh, my God. But I tell you, that's how this stuff happens, and it's just weird stuff. Let's get into Daniel, because we're going to pray for students today, all right? So here's Daniel. Daniel's been trained, and he's there, and he's brought into the house, and he's going to be trained by this fella, and he's given to the chief eunuchs. Now listen, it says, and the king appointed them the daily provision, verse 6, now from among them, the sons of Judah, was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. He gave Hananiah the name Shadrach. And to Mishael, he gave Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. If you guys start to look any way anemic or sickly, the king will say, I haven't done my job, and he will kill me. I am trained in nutrition. I know how to make your face shine. I know how to bring people before the king and have them completely, totally healthy. And if you go with your plan, I'm afraid I'm going to die. So I don't like your plan. So what the Lord is saying is that he does not like just water and vegetables. So this is an anti-vegetarian sermon. No, it is not that at all. But you see, sometimes people misunderstand that Daniel had water and vegetables. That's why he glowed. No, what Daniel wanted to show was that you have a way of causing that to happen. I am going to let God be the cause of my effect. The miracle was that God caused their lives to be supernaturally blessed and to prosper. Otherwise, his countenance and how he looked was not grace, but it was a work of performing a certain diet. Now, I'm not picking on anybody's diet. Mine's working amazingly, and if you want to have some counsel, I could help you. Whatever one you choose, knock yourself out. But what I want you to see in this is that what he chose to do was say that what you have sacrificed to your idols, the processes that you have done, the way that you're going to do it, I want to prove to you that I'm going to line up under God and he's going to be my source, and I'm not going to belly up to your systems or your ways of doing things. Thank you, Pastor. Now, please, everybody who's concerned about my diet, send me an email this afternoon and I will delete it. Amen. So, no. Just kidding. But I want to emphasize here that this is not something that you're supposed to see a dietary position. What this is Daniel wanted to prove that my God, that I can show you that my God. Otherwise, if the guy thought that's a great plan, he wouldn't have been concerned about his head. But it was going to be a supernatural demonstration that I can trust my God. I can do this, and my God will do it. All right. But Daniel purposed in his heart, right? And he said, so Daniel said to the steward, the chief of the eunuchs, who had set over him Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and give us just vegetables to eat and water, and let our appearance be examined before you as the appearance of the other men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. And so he consented with them in this matter, and he tested them in 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward steward took away their portion of delicacies and their wine and their drink, and he gave them vegetables. For all these four young men, God gave them knowledge. God gave them. God gave them. God gave them. God gave them. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and all wisdom. Say all literature. I only read Christian books, Pastor. I only read stuff that's okayed by the Praise the Lord Club. All literature. You know, how are we going to have the best lawyers, best doctors, best adjudicators, best of everything if we don't excel in all knowledge and all wisdom? Huh? You know, there's nothing wrong with poetry. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with some incredible. Some of it is total garbage. And you can go, this is garbage. This is pretty interesting. You know, you need to learn to interact with that, and you need to learn to interact with the things that this world is engaged in so that you can interact with it and you can be superior to it and you can manifest God's wisdom in it and through it. But, you know, if we keep on saying we're going to isolate ourselves from everything, you know, and that's the way we're going to deal with it, that's just silly. We got to engage it and we got to change it. These guys went into Babylon. They went into an ugly, violent, fallen culture, and they manifest the wisdom of God. Amen. All right. That was good, Pastor. So as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and all wisdom, and Daniel in understanding of all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers and wise men of that realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Listen, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, he found them to be 10 times better. And it wasn't because they studied 10 times harder. It wasn't because they had the best tutors in the world. It was because God gave them wisdom and understanding in all matters. Should you study? Should you get the best tutors? Should you, you know, challenge and get your children the very best education you possibly can? Absolutely. And you've got a responsibility to do that. But if you do that and you do not lay your hands on them regularly and confess over them that if Daniel was 10 times more intelligent because God was with him, you shall be 10 times more intelligent and the glory of God will be upon your life. You're going to get straight A's and better than straight A's because you have wisdom from above. You are so advantaged, it's unbelievable. It's like a full-grown man among small children because you literally have a free flow of the one who created all things flowing through your life. You are brilliant. You are brilliant. You are brilliant. You shall always be on top and never below. You shall excel in everything you do. Now, do your homework. But you see, a lot of times I see Christian families that place an awful lot of faith on the education part and don't do enough of the impartation part. Because the hands of parents are not for whack, do your homework. The hands of parents are for I bless you, I supernatural, I give you a hunger for mathematics. Ooh. I place in you a zeal to understand these numbers. 1 + 1 = 3. No, 1 + 1 = 2. It's always 2. Hallelujah. I tell you, we don't do enough of that sometimes in our Christian homes. But 10 times smarter than anything. I mean, these were the wisest people in the known world, but Daniel and his friends were 10 times smarter because of the blessing of God. You are incredibly advantaged as parents, and the greatest tool that you have is not yelling at your kids, but it's taking those beautiful hands and blessing them and imparting to them and calling forth the giftings in their lives and praying the blessing of God over their lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so we're called to be the cream of the crop. We really are. The problem with the world is, that's why it says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world. Literally means do not let the world push you into its mold. And we're not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. And so we get the Word, we get Him, and He renews our mind. You are so advantaged. You see, but we are not to blend in. You know, you go to the store and you can get 2% milk, 1% milk, skim fat milk, blah, blah, milk, all kinds of things. But, you know, they have a homogenized milk where they emulsify the fat and they try to get it all blended in and all mixed up so you can't see the cream. But you know what? As Christians, as believers, we are so anointed and so blessed, we literally should always rise to the top. It just happens. I mean, you can set milk out when it's not homogenized and emulsified. The fat will always come to the top. Always. And you know what? As believers, you are the cream of the crop. And you are blessed in every single way. And you should always rise to the top. If you're not rising to the top, it may be because you're not in your calling or gifting or setting. See, if I tried to be an NBA basketball player, it would need to be supernatural. And God could do that. I mean, there's people, you know, 5 foot this with, you know, not quite this frame. But you know, there's 5 foot something people playing basketball in the NBA and doing stuff, and they still think that's humanly pretty awesome. But you know, God can do that. But often I see people who are frustrated because they're trying to be something God didn't call them to be. You're in the wrong lane. What are you doing? But you know, when you know what God's called you to do and you're doing what He's called you to do, you're going to have joy. You're going to have bliss. You're going to excel. He's going to download such incredible wisdom to you. You're brilliant. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're brilliant." It's awesome stuff. All right, so here's something. You know, Daniel, his name means God is my judge. And immediately when you go into Babylon, they try to change your name. They tried to change his name to Belteshazzar. And Belteshazzar means favored by Bel, which means before God was your judge, but now, listen, you're favored by Bel. We want you to be hooked up and aligned with one of our gods. And they did that with every single one of them. Hananiah, his name means Yah, who is gracious. They changed his name to Shadrach, which means the command of the moon god. So they kept aligning themselves. Their names are all lined up with God. Daniel, El Shaddai, Elohim, El. And so there was God in their name, but they tried to change that and bring in one of their fallen gods' names. Mishael, whose name is, who is like God? Who is like El? Who is like him? And they changed his name to Meshach, which means who is like Aku? It was one of their gods named Aku. And then Azariah, his name was Yah has helped. Yah for Yahweh. Yah has helped us. They changed his name to Abednego, which means that I am the servant of Nebo. So they changed all their names. They tried to align them with different gods. And you see, our culture always does that. And when you go into our culture, it tries to change your name. It tries to rename you, tries to tame you, and tries to claim you. Right there. Rename you, tame you, and claim you. Our culture tries to settle you down. I mean, my wife is having a blast because she's going to university on Mondays and taking a history of the U.S. She's in a political science program, and she's loving it, but she loves being with these young kids, but she is amazed at how these schools and the professors are so indoctrinating them with such a fallen mindset. It's amazing how they rewrite history and turn it into, you know, all kinds of garbage to suit their things. And it's no wonder some of our kids go in, and if they're not ill-equipped and they're not blessed and they're not understanding of their anointing, they can be challenged because you go into these higher learning places and they try to rename you, they try to tame you, and they try to claim you. You know, we've got to be in there, and inside of that system, we got to work. But just like these guys went into Babylon, we've got to have our kids and our young people going into these systems and not being renamed, not being tamed, and not being claimed, but inside of that culture excelling, and inside of that culture not shrinking back from their convictions and their values, but sharing their hearts forcefully and having people go, "Wow, you are not blending in." Got a right on over there somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So some of the pressures of Babylon. Not sure what's up there. There you go. Pressures of Babylon. Number one, to rob you of your identity, to rename you, to put a name on you, to try to degrade you, to rob you of your security, the table of the king. He's now your source. No, God's going to be my source. My source will not be from the table of the king. No offense or anything, but God's going to be my source. I'm going to get the stuff from the field, and I'm just going to drink the water. And I'm not going to take the stuff that he has messed with or the stuff that they have given to foreign gods and idols. God himself will be my source. And then there's the whole destiny. They try to claim you, and they try to get you. And their whole thing was they tried to get them to enter the king's service. But Daniel was always in the king's service. And when you're in the king's service, all of these kings will become serving the king because you will manifest the king, and every other king will submit to the king because you're manifesting that he is the king of kings. So we need to do that. So Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And I like the NIV. It says, the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. That literally is my life verse. So it is not my life verse. It is actually one of them because I love the anointing. But you know, the thing is, the Assyrians tried to put a yoke on them, which meant we tried to restrict. We tried to say, you're going to turn this way. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to own you. But it says the Assyrians will not be able to yoke you because of the anointing, literally because of the fatness of your neck. Because of the fatness of your neck, every time they try to yoke you, it will snap and it will bust. And I love it. It will be broken. It literally means obliterated into a million pieces that you can't even put it back together again. It'll be so busted that nothing will ever get across your neck and nothing will limit you or restrict you all of your life because you are anointed. And the anointing is enough. It really is. The anointing of God has incredible benefits in your life. All right, an excellent spirit. Pearl Buck said, the secret of joy in work is contained in one word, excellence. To know how to do something well is to enjoy it. Folks, we should be excellent. If you don't know if you're doing what God wants you to do, you should do it. If you're in some job where you are sad, miserable, and bored, then you should change it. You should talk to God and say, where do you want me to be? Because God wants to set you in a place where you will excel and you will enjoy excelling and you will just have a blast and everybody around you will be blessed and you will bless where you work. It'll go to new levels and they'll literally say, I think our business is doing better because of that person. I don't know what it is about them, but I think they are causing our business to do better. It's true. You've seen it. I know there's people in this place that they've seen it and they know it. And they've actually had people talk about it and say, since we hired you, things have turned around. Who's had that experience? Since we hired you, things have turned around. It's true. Especially when you, God bless Kevin, he is anointed. Amen. My wife says, Carl, you have a fat neck and a fat head. So, okay. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. You know, these are just some people in the world talking about excellence. Steve Jobs, he said, be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. Excellence, some people aren't used to a place. You know, I've had somebody new come to this church. They went to another church, and I've had a lot of fun with this person. They are so hungry for God and hungry to pursue all the different paths that we have for them to grow in who they are. And it was interesting talking to this person because they said, I've been in this other church for years. It's been good. I serve, been an usher and all those things. But you guys, I come every week, and you guys have expectations of me. I literally feel like you are expecting me to grow. You are expecting me to engage my life. And you are expecting me to manifest God in all I do. And I'm loving this. Some people are not used to a climate where excellence is expected. You know, we need to be like that as a church, but you need to be that in your work, in your schooling, and all those things. You need to recognize that you are a steward of the blessing of God, which means you need to excel in your studies. And don't ever, ever approach your studies without saying, Holy Spirit. In fact, I just love to say, teacher, I'm getting into the book again. Oh man, it just gets me every time I do it, though. Whew. Teacher, take me through the scriptures. Take me through the word. And you know, there's not a thing that God doesn't know or understand. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're called to, in whatever area of vocation, God has called you to. He knows all about it. He knows how to break through, and he knows how to bless where you are right now. Despite any economy or anything that's going on, he can download new strategies that can take your business and where you work. You can bless it and take it to new levels. Never, ever enter into anything without allowing the teacher to teach me. When I was in sales, I used to ask the Holy Spirit when I pulled up to an account, what can I add to the line of things that they purchased from me? What line item should I ask them about today that I can add to this list? Because I call on this guy every week. I want to add line items. I don't want to have to do a whole bunch more calls to other places. The calls that I have, I want to grow. The clients that I already have, I want to grow within them. I want to see the increase. So Holy Spirit, tell me what I need to talk to him about. And often the Holy Spirit, I would list three things. I'd walk in and say, what about these three things? Where do you buy them from? And they say, funny you ask. And I would add line items all the time. And it was totally by the power of the Holy Spirit, totally directed by God. And I saw everything go up. I would literally have my sales sheets. We'd have our business meetings and all the other account managers and everything in. And I'd sit down at the table, and at everybody's table were photocopies of my sales. Because the boss kept going, I can't believe how this guy adds stuff to every call. Aren't I awesome? But I mean, I've done this, not just, well, you're a pastor. I mean, you know, you're just, it's so good to be every day just, all you do is read your Bible and love on God. Well, what are you doing? I mean, every day you can do the same thing. Every day you've got access to the Holy Spirit. Every day he can be talking to you, blessing what you do. He can be blessing your studies, knock your socks off. He could blow you away. You could write papers guided by the Holy Ghost. You don't even know where that came from. Man, is God ever cool. And he can do that. Thank you, Pastor. All right. All right. Every job is a self-portrait of the person who did it. I love that quote. Every job is a self-portrait of the person who did it. Autograph your work with excellence. I like that. You know, everything you do is a manifestation of who you are. It's a manifestation of your heart, your character, and your integrity. And if you're going to engage in something, do it really, really, really well. Or else you are manifesting that you really don't care. And you know, how you serve the Lord is a manifestation of what you feel about him, what you really feel. Oh, don't meddle with me like that, Pastor. All right. Vince Lombardi, one of my favorites, he said, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. Another quote, I don't know who did it, but it's a good one. It says, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is a little bit extra. Like, look at it. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is extra. I mean, that's profound, isn't it? I'm really ordinary and I want to be extraordinary. Then do a little extra. Oh, wow. I think it's not complicated, is it? Okay. Thanks, Pastor. All right, you ready? Seven qualities of fat people. All right. I'm not fat. I'm going to shut off right now. You know, when I'm talking about fat, I mean anointed people. I like fat people. I like to say fat people are F-A-T. They're faithful, they're available, and they're teachable. They're faithful. And they're teachable. And I'm always looking for fat people. Amen? Some people ain't teachable. I know everything already. I ain't teaching me anything. And some people, you know, they just ain't available. And some people just aren't faithful. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Seven qualities of fat people. Ready? Number one, they refuse to blend in. You take the milk. And you try to make it blend in and let it sit for a while, and the fat comes to the top. You know what? You refuse to blend in. No matter how much they try to, you know, ram the stuff on your head, you just refuse to accept it, believe it, or walk in it. You will not blend in. I am not going to. Daniel said, I will not defile myself. He said in his heart, I will not defile myself. You know, there's a lot of ways the world and in your education and everything, they will try to come against the way you think and what you believe. And they'll try to change your values and what you believe. You know what? Fat people, faithful people, people who excel and people who are 10 times better than everybody else with the blessing of God in their lives, those people are people who refuse to blend in. Amen. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, refuse to blend in. Hebrews chapter 11, 24. Listen to this now. By faith. Now listen, let me read it like this. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses just made a decision and said, yeah, I'm not going to be Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, I'm not going to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, I'm just going to choose. But it doesn't say that. It says by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused. By faith, he refused. That may not be big and profound to you, massive profound to me. This was not just some choice he made one day. This was an act of faith. This was just like by faith, Moses opened the Red Sea. Whoa! I mean, by faith, you know, all these things that they say happen by faith. I love this. Here's a faith step. You ready? By faith, I refuse to be known as a son or a daughter of Pharaoh's. And that was an act of faith. And you know what? It's going to be an act of faith. You got to live and walk a life of supernatural faith. And by faith, I refuse. I refuse to come under this world system, this world's thought patterns, and I am going to be subject to the thoughts and the ways of God Almighty. And you know what? The thoughts of God Almighty are going to cause you to come into a massive collision with the ways of the world. Don't be afraid, though. And don't be obnoxious, because God is kind, God is loving, and the things that we should manifest should be saturated with graciousness and all kinds of other things. Don't be obtuse and don't be a know-it-all. Because love serves. Love covers. Love ministers to. Love helps. And you see, you're not, by not blending in doesn't mean that you're being obnoxious. It just means that I am, through love and through steadfastness, going to manifest that there indeed is a better way, God's way, of understanding this and manifesting it. See, some people are using carnal weapons to try to win a spiritual war, and you can't do it. And it's going to be a spiritual thing, so don't blend in. And move in the fruit of the Spirit. Move in the understandings and anointings of God. Don't move in the ways the world would do it, to argue and to shout and to scream and say, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. The church is full of haters. That's what they say. And you know where they got that from? The haters in the church. They didn't just come up with it one day. They ran into some church people who were obnoxious. And you know what? If you are going to stand for Almighty God, then you first and foremost should manifest the nature of God. God is, it's a love war. And it better be saturated in love. Anyways, number two, you guys having fun? You guys discussing my points amongst yourselves? Good, you need to do that. It's important stuff. All right. They possess firm convictions. It says, now Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home, and he went up to his upper room, and when he was there, his windows opened toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks to God, as was his custom. So Daniel did this. This was his custom. Daniel had very firm convictions, and he was not moved. He did what he did because it was God's purpose and plan for his life. It didn't matter if the customs of the world changed. Daniel had convictions that were establishing his life, and it didn't matter if everything in the world shifted. He was going to continue down the path of God. You see, everybody could not stand Daniel. I mean, he was, you know, favor and blessing will cause problems. I mean, not a lot of people. I mean, I love going and seeing people blessed, and I go, this is awesome. You're blessed. I love that you're blessed. It's so incredible that you're blessed. And I go to my car, and I go, I can't stand that they're blessed. I hate it that they get everything. I just hate it, and they're always going, praise Jesus. Look what he did for me now. Ugh. No, you walk out, and you go, praise God. I love that they're blessed. I love that God has blessed them. It's so awesome. Next. Like, if somebody gets blessed, it doesn't mean there's a little less to go around. It's all good, as was his custom, you know. And here where they tried to trap Daniel by saying, hey, king, you know what? You're so awesome. You're so cool that we should make a 30-day plan that nobody should pray to anybody else or do anything except you just for 30 days because you're awesome. And they did that because they wanted to trap Daniel, because they knew that Daniel will not stop praying. And when he prays, he opens the windows and everybody hears him praying, Father, I love you. You're awesome. Bless me. Be with me. Be with your people. And he can't help himself. And we know that even though an edict goes out, don't pray to any other god, he'll still go open his windows and say, Father, you're awesome. And they said, we got him, because they knew that he had too much character and too much conviction not to do it. We've got to have those kind of convictions. Those things are the things that change the world. Some people say, well, you know, I go by my conscience, you know, and whatever my conscience says. Here's the problem with conscience. Your conscience can be seared. Your conscience can be wrong. Your conscience can be completely messed up. Some people, if you went by your conscience, you'd never get anything right because your conscience can't even make a right decision. You need to have a conscience that's aligned with God. All right. They possess firm convictions. Number three, they will experience promotion. They will experience promotion. Fat people will experience promotion. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel. Truly, your God is God of gods. Then the king promoted Daniel, and he gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. He gave him many gifts. And Daniel said, no, I'm just doing this because I love you. No, he received them. It's all good. You know what? Promotion comes from God. And when you're a fat person, when you're a faithful person, when you're walking in the anointing of God, promotion will come to your life, because all promotion comes from God. And so you will experience promotion. You will experience that when you're pursuing the purposes of God in your life. Number four, you will realize uncommon results. There is a man in your kingdom of whom the Spirit of the Holy God is in, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. These people are literally saying, this guy is like one of our gods. I mean, there is uncommon wisdom. There is out of this world wisdom. He's got super on his natural all the time. He has uncommon results in every single thing he does. Folks, the spirit and the anointing that was on Daniel is the spirit and the anointing that's on you. And in fact, in the old covenant, they just had a visitation of God upon them. You have a habitation of the presence of God in you. The anointing that is in you super exceeds the anointing of the old covenant. You are so incredibly blessed. Literally, God speaks to you 24/7, and he reveals to you things that are even yet to come. He speaks his purpose, his mind to you on every issue of life. You are blessed, and you have been called to live a life of uncommon results. I'm good with average. You know, I'm okay with that. Like, you know, man. Oh, really, you need to put a demand on the blessing of God in your life. You need to say, hey, big fella, I've read the book here, and I've been reading. I tend to believe that you are who you said you are. Otherwise, it's all ridiculous. But I've seen some of this, and you have promised that you will favor me and that your grace is on my life and that I am favored because I'm in a relationship with you by faith. I have access now to the very grace of God. Wow, I need some of that manifest in my life. Then you got to put a demand on that to be manifest in your life. If you've got a problem at work, you got to ask for the answer. You know, we had Amy. Amy was working, and she had many of her superiors. They had a problem at work, and they were concerned about what to do. And I mean, Amy's a fairly new convert here, just got baptized a few weeks ago. And Amy was being taught that you can hear the voice of God. God can speak to you about things, even about your job and what you're doing. And so she's praying, and she was also told in church that while you're praying, write stuff down. So she's praying, and she began to write stuff down. And Amy went to a work meeting, and when she went to the work meeting, she said, you know what, I think I have an answer to this situation. And so she shared it with everybody, and they all went, that's amazing, Amy. That's exactly what we need to do. That is really great. Then you know what she said? I have to tell you, though, I didn't get this. God gave it to me. I just wrote it down. Some of us need to go back and get born again again. Because now we got used to not living out of that born again relationship and just being normal like my neighbor. We got to be people who walk in just profound revelations of God every day and not be afraid to say, yeah, I was praying and I wrote it down and God gave me a solution that now my place of employment has implemented, and it's a breakthrough from heaven for the people I work with. Where are you right now? Your place needs a breakthrough. Wow. My place is really rough. We haven't got any purchases, no jobs. They're talking about laying people off for a while. Hope I don't get laid off. Oh, my goodness. No, you know what you do? You say, I call in contracts right now. I call in contracts right now in the name of Jesus. When I worked for NEDCO, when I was in college, three of us, three believers, and it was in 1980, all right, and this was 79 and 1980. There were no building contracts going on in Toronto then. And I worked for an electrical distributor. And it was like, everybody's going to get laid off. Everything is horrible. I worked for the Markham branch. And during those 2 years, we three times had to move to a larger location because the business in our area just went through the roof. But every morning, we would meet, the three of us, and we would declare the blessing of God over where we work. We called in. We would pray for the salesman by name, and we called in contracts. Bless them. We call in contracts for them, for this guy, for Peter. Lord, send him out. I pray that he would have access. We prayed for clients that we knew, different ones, for Trauma Electric, Lord. We call in contracts for them in Jesus' name. We called in the people that were our clients. We called in the blessing of God. And for 3 years, in a deep, deep recession, we three times had to move our branch to a larger location because our branch was prospering. Oh, that's just a coincidence, Pastor. I mean, don't get so up on yourself. I mean, my goodness, like everything you touch turns to gold, I suppose. Yes. Don't you believe that about yourself? What do you believe? Everywhere I go, average happens. Everywhere I go, every place I put tread my foot upon, normal stuff takes place. Every place I go, I drop my foot and I say, the kingdom of God is here. Let all averageness manifest. Every place that the sole of my foot treads upon, that is my ground. That is my ground to manifest kingdom right now. I call forth the uncommon, unnatural glory of God and blessing of God to manifest right now. I mean, if your job and your business is going through a hard time, change it. I wish I could, but you don't understand, man. We're in a bad recession. You not looked around, Pastor? I read in the paper that London's got one of the worst unemployment rates in all of Canada. Well, shame on us. Because, you know, the church is the pillar of truth. It's the pillar of everything good in an area. And you know what? If there's nasty unemployment in this area, that's the enemy going, ha, 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 ha. You know, it's about time the church got up and said, I command blessing on this city. I command jobs to come. I command businesses to come. I command increase to come right now. I command unbelievable. I pray right now that an absolute total cure for AIDS would be found right now at the University of Western. The greatest, you know, incredible thing ever. Boom. I pray that they would have the most incredible things. A cure for diabetes. A cure for all these things. I pray right now that that hospital would be an open heaven and that things would drop into people's hearts and minds that are out of this world, and would cause this region to become on the map known as a great, great city. I tell you, this city is under siege by the enemy because God has chosen to do something great here. But it means that we got to rise up and be big and be bold. Come on. Now, all you youngins, I'm going to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil before you go. So we'll have to have testimonies next week that you got straight A's. All right, you come back to church next week with a B or a C. I tell you, you think your parents were mad at you? My God. Oh, my God, I'm not coming back next week. Oh, man. Just kidding. This, for some, a C would be amazing. And my mom said, amen. They realize uncommon results. Number five, they invoke incredible opposition. I mean, Daniel then was thrown into the lion's den. And I mean, the king didn't want to do it. The king loved them. The king realized, oh, these crazy people schemed against him, but I have to honor my name and my word, so I got to throw this guy in the lion's den. Daniel gets tossed in the lion's den, and he sits down, and an angel shows up and, you know, settles down all the lions, and nothing happens. And Daniel sits there all night playing backgammon with an angel. He played backgammon with an angel? You read between the lines. It's all good. But then in the morning, the king runs down, you know, opens up the thing, says, Daniel, are you there? And he says, take it easy, king. Everything's good. I'm still here. It's all good. Nobody's touched me. Everything's fine. You know, and then he got out, and then right away the king said, you know what? Daniel's God is God, and I want everybody in the sphere of my reign to submit to the reign of the King of Glory. Don't be afraid of opposition. Don't be afraid of those things. The opposition you go through may be a breakthrough to take you to another level. Don't shrink back from that. It's going to be good because you will invoke opposition. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Number six. They possess uncommon boldness. Daniel 4, 24 and 27. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Why am I putting that there? Because Daniel literally went to Nebuchadnezzar and he said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the most powerful guy in the world. I want to tell you something. You are going to go, ar, 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 and you're going to be barking like a dog. I mean, it could have been off with your head. Don't you tell. Because you walk into the presence of a king and you even have a sad face, he could say, off with your head. But he didn't just walk in with a sad face. He said, you're proud and you're arrogant and you're going to bark like a dog for 7 years. You know, when you got the Spirit of God on you, the anointing of God on you, and you're walking and you're a fat person, you're bold. When you're a faithful person, an anointed person, you're walking in God, it says you're going to possess uncommon boldness and you're going to speak the words of God. It may bring you in some interesting places and you better be willing to open your mouth and declare some things. Number seven, and there's only seven, so here we go. They forwarded God's kingdom and you will forward God's kingdom. Did you know that the reason you're doing everything you're doing is to bring glory to God? Everything you're doing is to forward his kingdom. And if you're doing it in an average way, you're being disappointed, you're being disobedient. Did you know that there's not just the sin of commission, there's the sin of omission? And in fact, the biggest sin is you've missed the mark, harmatio, to miss the mark, for all have sinned and missed the mark. So it's not the sins you commit, it's the sins that you don't commit, or the sin that is committed by not doing anything. You know, that's the greatest sin of all, is complacency. And people that are just so drunk on average. And the church should be the most powerful, glorious organism in the earth. But we got too many in the church that are just drunk on average, just getting by. The next great event in my life, Jesus is going to get me out of this mess. Well, you should say the next great event is right now. I'm going to manifest the kingdom everywhere I go today and demonstrate God's goodness. Whoa! I'm going to be intoxicated on his glory. And everybody's going to say, take me to your leader. That's the way it really should be. Now, here's Daniel. In his day, he's reading the word. He's engaged in the word. And in the word, he reads. And he says in the prophet Jeremiah, he reads that after 70 years, we're supposed to be sent back. After 70 years of the desolation of Jerusalem, that there's going to be a people who go back. And they go back and they establish Jerusalem and rebuild. So when he read that, he said, man, I totally agree with that. And he began to declare it. He began to pray into it. He began to speak it. And you see, he engaged on the heavenly purposes of God. Now, I really believe that even though God himself said after 70 years it will be done, nothing on earth is done unless somebody in an earth suit doesn't agree with heaven. And Daniel engaged the desires of heaven, and Daniel partnered with God, and he pulled out of heaven the purpose of God for that day, and he brought it into manifestation because he understood that I have a responsibility. I am uncommonly anointed to bring in the purposes and power of God in our day. I don't know if my anointing's too strong for this microphone or what's going on, but it's popping and cracking. See, you are called, every one of us, even you guys. I mean, your life every day, the choices you make, you're deciding to manifest God's glory and God's purposes in what he does. And he wants you to excel. He wants you to manifest his goodness and his grace. And he wants to, you see, the greatest witness that we have is to demonstrate the goodness of God in and through our lives. Because that evidence will wreck people. People don't want to hear some testimony, man, you need to serve God because you're going to go to hell. Well, that may be true, but you know what? Here's a great testimony. You're so incredibly blessed that people want to know, how did you do that? You're walking in such health and such blessing, people want to know, how do you do that? See, that's what God really wants to demonstrate, because it doesn't say go and do witnessing. It says go and be a witness. Be a living, breathing example of the power and presence of God in your life. Church isn't some place where we come to and get patched up every week because we were out there and the big bad wolf was after me and he's huffing and puffing trying to blow our house down. No! I mean, church is the place where we come and celebrate victory. We celebrate conquest. We testify to one another of the greatness and the glory of God. We don't compare, ouch, I got an ouchie. It's a place where we're going out there with power. Hey, guys, don't go away. I got to pray for you. No, really, I do. Did they have to go potty or what? Did I go that long that somebody has to go pee? Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Pastor, you should look at that once in a while. You know, the problem, my wife wasn't sitting in front of me, waving at me and going, all right, there's the 7 points. I want to pray for students today. I want to pray for all those in that spot. So if one of you ladies can go into the potty realm and just get them to hurry up, and I give you authority, because I really do want to pray for students. So nothing complicated. It's nothing really wild, or it's not like, drum rolls or anything. I just want you, if you're a student, I want you to come up here. So that's it. First of all, let me heal your hearing. All right. Hey, Pat, can you grab the other anointing oil things that you have? Because I just want to have a bunch of people with some anointing oil so that we can... Praise the Lord. Wow. That's a good looking group of students, isn't it? So how many of you guys go to Western? We go. It's awesome. But Pastor Cheryl has a group meeting tomorrow at Western at, I think it's, is it 5:30 at the Spoke? 6 at the Spoke? Sorry? Is it? Okay, sorry. But that's good. I think you had 11 people there last week. So that was really good, eh? So how many think you 11 could sow? Because a little bit of yeast permeates the whole lump. How many think that you 11 could take that whole campus for Jesus? Oh, you're aiming too high, Pastor. You know, okay, take maybe one of the dorms. You know, take some magic markers from the closet. No, no, we don't. I believe that we need to take seriously the campuses in town and need to take seriously our students, because I don't really want to see young people just set ablaze and ridiculously blessed and anointed. So I'm just going to ask our other elders to come and just get one of these vials of oil, and we're going to go down and we're just going to anoint each of you with oil. We're going to bless you and impart to you. And just to everyone else, I just want to say, really, you are so incredibly blessed to be an impact where you are. And your job, wherever you are, you should be praying for your job, praying for your superiors, praying for all those there, because you have no idea how blessed you are and the blessing you can release wherever you are. So I just pray in every way. I especially love people self-employed, because when you're self-employed, there's no ceiling at all. Like, you can just, God can bless you, give you clients, do stuff that's just incredible, and just pray for supernatural breakthrough on your life. So you guys all raise your hands right now. Did we get the kids out of the bathroom? That's awesome. All right. Oh, there's one now. Come on up here. Come on. Don't be shy. It's all right. I was in an anointing service, and I didn't get it because I was in the bathroom. So God will get you in the bathroom too. Amen. So raise up your hands, both hands. Don't be shy. Not a little bit, you know. You know, if you know when a flag is at half-mast? I mean, somebody died, you know, so, you know, if you're at half mast, like, yeah. So when you're all out, that's good. Just never let your flag be part way up, you know what I mean? Just all the way. Going to pray for you, going to pray for everyone, and then we're just going to anoint these guys with oil, and we just pray the blessing of God on their life. Just break off any limitations in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for these young people. I thank you for a church that is generational. I thank you for a church that, you know, has a nursery and has a seniors group, has everything all the way in between. And I thank you that we move together and the generations move together. And I thank you for a generational church. But Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for students. And Lord, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago I was in school, but the culture's changing so fast and things are changing so much. And Father, the attacks and the subtle attacks that are on the hearts and the minds of these young people, Father, I just know that at times it must be overwhelming of how often they're being forced into a mold and forced to conform. But I pray, Lord, that just like unconsciously, not even consciously, but unconsciously, the blessing and the anointing in their life would so overflow the banks of their life that wherever they go, they are an incredible influence. Wherever they go, there's a demonstration of your anointing, of your power, and of your pleasure. So, Father, I just command your richest blessing on them right now. I pray, Father, that they would know clearly what you've called them to do. And I pray the blessing of Daniel on them right now. In the name of Jesus, every one of them right now, I'm going to confess the blessing of Daniel. Daniel was 10 times smarter. He was 10 times more blessed. He had 10 times more insight than anybody. That in whatever field you are in, you are going to be a genius. In whatever, because the Holy Ghost can make you look like an absolute genius. And I pray that whatever field you're in, that it's not going to be something that happens because of something you've done, but it's your relationship with God that is going to manifest 10 times more brilliance in all that you do. And I pray that you would have the faith to believe that. I pray that you would have the faith to put a demand on that anointing in your life, that every test you write, everything you do, as you've given yourself to study and given yourself to engage yourself, that you will get into that and you'll have 10 times the creativity, 10 times the ability, 10 times the understanding, and 10 times the wisdom in every situation you find yourself in. So, Father, I call forth that anointing and beyond to be upon each of these lives. Cause them to be people who are inventors, who are geniuses, who are people that excel in their field and literally manifest the glorious kingdom and revelation of God. So, Father, I bless them right now. As we anoint them right now, let the oil of your glory be upon them. May they never be the same. May they be sanctified and set apart to your purpose. May your glory be evident in their lives. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now bless this house, Lord. Bless each one. I pray the grace of the Lord, just the love of the Father. I pray the wonderful peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost be with each and every one in Jesus' name. Now if you got to go, I bless you. Otherwise, just stand up with me. Stretch out your hand. Just with us. Bless these folks, all right? So we're going to get the elders. Just go now and just begin to anoint each one all the way across. Just let's anoint each one right now with oil in the name of Jesus. Are you ready? You know what? When you get anointed with oil, you're never the same. You're turned into a different person. It's the anointing. The oil is just a symbol. It's just a type of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to loose the anointing of God in your life. And you're going to be blessed like you wouldn't believe. Never the same in Jesus' name. Father, just loose your anointing right now. Loose your blessing to touch, to sanctify, and minister this life. Now, some of you don't have to even go anywhere because there's dinner served upstairs. So you can just go upstairs and have roast beef dinner. How amazing was that? Father, we loose your anointing right now. Loose the seal of your glory on this life. Creative brilliance and genius in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We just loose right now, just creative brilliance. We just loose right now, just incredible capacity. I just loose supernatural blessing. Tim, you're going to be a money magnet. There's favor on your life. It's incredible, the favor on your life. Favor, favor, favor. There are things already being prepared for you. There's so much going on before you. God is making a way, and it is big. Put a demand on it. Put a demand on it. Put a demand on big. You're going to be in a place where there's going to be very, very large contracts. Large contracts. There's going to be things that in your mind you'd say, I'm not going to go for that. I'm not, you know, that's too big. But God says, you're going to even know it. This word is going to come back to you at a certain time in your life where you're going to be presented with a contract, something very big and an opportunity. And you might even in your own self say, that might be a bit big. But listen, that word will come and it'll rip through your spirit and say, this is it right now. Take it. It's bigger than that. And God's going to give you creative and ingenious ways and skills and ability to mentor and to manifest his purpose in those areas. Great favor, great favor, great favor, great favor, great favor. Come on over here there, Letty. Father, we bless right now in Jesus' name. Bless right now in Jesus' name. We just pray for creative ability. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name for incredible revelation and ability in this realm in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Great favor, great favor, great favor. Great favor. You have the ability to be a master in areas. You have the ability to be a genius, like a guru in your field. You have the ability to have a unique insight into things that people have never seen before. And you have ability to see those things that no one else sees. And you'll bring things into manifestation, and you'll be an absolute genius in your field. Know that. Put a demand on that. Command the anointing of God. You will have an eye that is not a natural eye, but it is a supernatural eye to see and to bring into manifestation and to call forth very creative and real things. And even through that, it'll manifest the very glory of God. So just receive that right now. Loose a fresh anointing of breakthrough in your life right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did you get everybody? Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's good. I'm just having fun. So, awesome. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. It's good, good, good. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So did we get everybody? Did you all get some oil slapped on you? Put up your hand if you didn't. Put up your hands one more time. I just want to bless you. Just apostolic blessing on your life right now.